Well, if you notice the sermon title this morning in the bulletin, you might be excited. Christmas light. You might be thinking, finally, someone has come up with a Christmas that has fewer calories and is less filling. For some, that may be an encouraging thought. As we've discovered, Christmas can be fattening and Christmas can be stressful. Most of us tend to eat too much at Christmas. Now, if you don't, please keep that to yourself. We don't need to know that. There's stress of paying for the gifts that have been bought. There's entertaining responsibilities that include extra meals and extra desserts, which is the way it should be, of course. And there's a to-do list that would make Santa go back up the chimney. Now, for some, Christmas can be stressful. So the idea of Christmas light may sound appealing to you, but this is, of course, not what I mean by Christmas light. By Christmas light, I mean the light that we associate with Christmas. We know about this light not through advertisers or marketers. We know about it through God's revelation in the Bible. So for a few minutes on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I'd like to explore the concept of light as we find it in the Bible, and focus specifically on the Christmas light that makes the other ones dim by comparison. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would guide us now as we look at light in the Bible and how it appears many times, what we learn from it, and especially as we focus on Christmas light, the light of Jesus Christ who has come into the world. Help us to focus on him this season, as we should every season, because he is the reason we celebrate it all. So bless our time, we pray, and in your word, we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, light, as you probably know, is a very prevalent theme and motif in the Bible. The word appears, in fact, more than 200 times. Now, they don't all have significance, but some actually have great significance. God's word introduces us to light very early on. After a brief overview in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it then begins with a description of God's creation of the physical universe. And the word light is the seventh word that's mentioned. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light must be very important if it's the very first thing that God created in the physical world. Now, realize that God created light for our benefit, not his benefit. God doesn't need light. We do. We need light for many reasons. As physical beings, we must have light in order to see in the physical world. We forget this sometimes because we are rarely ever in total darkness. Day or night, wherever we are, there's always some light that's present. Lights are everywhere. But if you're ever in a very rural area, far from a town or a city, and you have the chance, go outside and turn off all of the artificial lighting and see what darkness really looks like. It's almost scary, in fact. But God is invisible. So it wouldn't matter if God was in natural light or not, or artificial light, because he is invisible. You can't see him. We cannot see God with natural eyes. It's only through God's manifestation in a physical way that God is visible to us at all. So light was made for us. God created light for our benefit. We need it in order to see. At least for now. Moving to the Psalms, we read in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" In the ancient world, long before there was artificial light, the only light that one had in the evening came through candles or torches or lamps, oil lamps typically. There weren't any gas lamps, and certainly there were no electric lights in the ancient world. So in that world, when the sun set, it was dark, really dark. And to move around in the darkness was really quite dangerous. First of all, that's when the nocturnal animals came out. And some of those nocturnal animals like to eat humans. So, if it was dark and you're in their domain, then they had every advantage over you. Secondly, it was much easier to hurt yourself in the dark. Towns didn't have streetlights and reflectors, so if it was dark outside, you might easily fall and hurt yourself, or you might walk into something. I don't know about you, but I tend to walk into things during the daytime. So at night, it would be especially hazardous. You may recall Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The psalmist is using an analogy here, of course. Light helps us see where we're going in the physical world, and the light of God's word helps us see where we're going in the spiritual world. But darkness was just kind of generally scary in the ancient world because you didn't know what was out there. Could be anything. So people tended to stay inside when it was night. The psalmist's bigger point is that the light that God brings into our lives helps relieve our fear. He says, "Whom shall I fear?" Well, the logical question would then be, fear what? Our fear of things we cannot see. That's his point. There are things we cannot see if it's dark. But the thing we should fear most is God's judgment on our sinfulness. So the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" God not only provides light for our path, God not only provides light that takes away our fear of what might be in the dark, but most importantly, God gives us the light that we need to guide us on the path to salvation. It's the equivalent of 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" now here Paul is referring back to the creation, "'For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." So God, the Creator, who created light in the first place, physical light, also made his light shine in our hearts. To what end? To give us the knowledge we need to be rescued from what the Bible calls darkness, a common synonym for sin, especially our own sin. This brings us to the prophet Isaiah, who says in chapter 9, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now, this is the prophecy, of course, which was uttered centuries before this child was born. The Apostle John picks up on this light motif in chapter 1 of his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." That is, back when light was created, and in eternity before that. Verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe." Verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, in those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." John picks up on Jesus' words in the continuing theme of light throughout the Bible, including the New Testament, in chapter 12, verse 46. He says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Paul says that the light of the gospel shone in our hearts because the light of Christ came into the world. That's why it happened. We embraced that light and we believed in that light. Paul writes to Timothy, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Apostle Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's referring to everyone that's a believer in Jesus Christ, far beyond the Jewish people, but all people, including Gentiles. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, fill in the blank, light. His wonderful light. And of course, this is the message of Christmas, is it not? That it was God's plan from the beginning to redeem his sinful people. Christmas is not just about light in some general sense. It's about light in the sense that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light in the middle of darkness. And not only the darkness of the world, and the world is plenty dark, as you know, but the darkness in our own hearts and in our own souls as well. God became one of us. That's incarnation. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. God became one of us. Jesus died for us. That's substitution. And each of us can be redeemed by grace through faith. That's salvation. Charles Wesley put it like this. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. And Luke puts it like this. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this glorious news of Christmas, that light has come into the world, and that light is Jesus Christ. Without him, we would still remain in darkness, and we would have no hope for now or the future. So we celebrate his birth yet again. We never tire of it. We never grow weary of celebrating it, because it's the best news that has ever been brought to this earth. So as we celebrate it again, help us to focus on the reason that we are celebrating, that Christ has come into the world, that he's offered himself as payment for our sins, and that by grace through faith, we can be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. Thank you for that light. We celebrate it together through Christ our Lord. Amen.